A very good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service at Laindon Baptist Church. Please feel free to pray with us, sing with us, and to listen to God's word from Rose. Let's start our service with prayer. We thank you, dear Father, for the technology to be able to join together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, at this time of lockdown. As this terrible pandemic plagues this whole earth, please help through the power of your Holy Spirit for us to feel your love and to become one as this service progresses, so at the end we'll be able to have a new strength in you to cope with life's difficulties and to be able to share your love with others in the name of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to share with you Psalm 147. A psalm of praise. Praise the Lord! How good it is to sing praises to our God! How pleasant and fitting to praise Him! The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor in his delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Extol the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sent his command to the earth, his word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down his hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? He sends his word and melts them. He stirs up his breezes and the waters flow. He has revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nations. They do not know his laws. Praise the Lord. King David had many problems during his reign, but he was always ready to give God praise for all things in his life, good and bad, telling us how good it is to praise him and how God heals the brokenhearted and sick. Let us now sing our first hymn, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. As we sing, please take the words to heart to be able to rest in his love. The first verse asks us to reclothe ourselves in a rightful mind, serve God in purity, and praise God with reverence. What a different world this would be if all the nations of the earth returned to God and followed those words. Shelley is now going to read us our main Bible reading.
First Kings 3:1-15. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. He brought her to the city of David until he finished building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people, however, were still sacrificing at the high places because a temple had not yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon showed his love of the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, O my Lord God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administrating justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honour, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then he gave a feast for all his court.
Thank you, Shelley. Please join us now in the singing of our next hymn, "These Are the Days of Elijah," a song taking us through the period of Moses to Ezekiel, then to John the Baptist, crying out in the desert, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." A question to all of us: are we preparing the way of the Lord?
Elijah declaring the word of the Lord, and these
Rose is now going to bring us God's word.
This week we're talking about Solomon, David's son, who preceded David as a king. Solomon was about 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned for about 39 to 40 years. There's a bit of a debate as to the correct amount of time he reigned, as there often is in the Bible, but I don't think 1 year will make an awful lot of difference. He had a strong relationship with Egypt, and he even married the Pharaoh's daughter, brought her back to live in the city of David. She was the first of many foreign wives he married. Solomon showed his love for God by walking in the footsteps of his father. But he did have one problem. As the temple was not yet built, he and the people were making sacrifices in high places, which was forbidden, as God decreed in Deuteronomy 12, verses 2 to 4. Destroy completely all the places on the high mountains and on the hills and under every spreading tree where the nations you are depossessing worshipped their gods. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and burnt their asphalt poles in the fire. Cut down the idols of their gods and wipe out their names from these places. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way. Do we sometimes fall into the trap of doing something because everybody else is doing it, even if we have doubts as to it's the right thing to do? Very easy to forget for a moment that it's not the right thing to do. Solomon went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices to God, for it was the most important place to go. He offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. This does seem a lot, but he really wanted to worship God and spend time with him. How much do we give to God in time, in prayer and in worship? I know for me the answer is not enough. Must do better. Solomon spent the night at Gibeon, and as he was sleeping, God appeared to him in a dream. God said, "Whatever you ask for, I will give to you." Solomon asked God to give him wisdom to discern so that he may keep the throne intact. God was pleased with Solomon and said, "As you have only asked for this, I will also give you both riches and honour." God encouraged Solomon to ask for what he wanted, as Jesus encourages us to ask, and it will be given to you, in Matthew 7, verse 7. God wants us to depend on him alone. I wonder what I would have asked for if God had asked me that question. Solomon's wisdom was soon put to the test. Most of us know the story of two women who lived in the same house, where one of their babies died, and both of them claiming that the one who survived was theirs. Solomon asked for a sword, and said that he would divide the baby in two, so that they would each have half. One of the women said that he should go ahead, so that neither of them would have the baby. But the other one said, "Please, Lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him." Then Solomon said, "Give the child to the one who pleaded for his life, as she is surely the baby's mother." The baby was awarded back to the mother. All Israel saw the judgment and wisdom of the king and had much respect for him, as they saw that he had the wisdom of God to administer justice. Solomon's fame spread throughout all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He was able to describe all the animals, birds, reptiles, and plant life. He wrote 2 psalms, and probably Ecclesiastics and the Song of Solomon. Many nations came to listen to Solomon's wisdom. Solomon ruled over the lands south of the river Euphrates, which is on the borders of Mesopotamia, to the borders of Egypt, a great expanse of land. Solomon anointed officials and governors to help him rule the nation. Throughout Solomon's reign, Judah and Israel were at peace. In chapters 5, 6 and 7, they deal with the preparations, building and fitting out of the temple and Solomon's palace. Solomon started to build a temple to house the Ark of the Tabernacle, which up until then had been kept in a portable tent. He started in it in the fourth year of his reign. It was 480 years after the Israelites left Egypt. At the same time as Solomon built the temple, he had a palace made for himself. Solomon was a prolific builder, creating many expensive public works, a major defence structure in Jerusalem, and many warehouses for the kingdom's vast stocks of food and wealth. It took 7 years to finish the temple and 13 years to finish the palace. This is what the temple looked like once completed. The temple was 60 cubits long, 20 wide, and 30 high, which is 27 metres by 9 metres and 13.5 metres, or old school like me, 88 feet 7 inches by 29 feet 6 inches and approximately 43 feet, as 5% of a metre wouldn't convert when I was trying to do it. When the temple was complete, Solomon summoned all the heads of the tribes of Israel together so that the Ark of the Covenant could be brought from the city of David. They assembled on the seventh month, which is a festival month for them. The priests brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord into the temple and set it in the most holy place, under the wings of the cherubim. As the priests did this, the cloud filled the temple, so much so that the priests had to leave because of the glory of the Lord filled the house. Solomon said, "The Lord said that he would dwell in the dark cloud," and Exodus 40, verse 34. Solomon then gave a speech of dedication, a very long one. This was followed by a prayer in which he said that he understood that the temple was, which they had built, could not contain God, as God cannot be contained. He is everywhere. After Solomon finished the speech and prayer, he blessed the people. After the blessing, Solomon offered a fellowship offering of 20,000 cattle and 120,000 goats and sheep, followed during the day by Solomon consecrating the centre of the courtyard by offering burnt and grain offerings, which pleased God, who sent fire down and burnt the offerings. They celebrated for 14 days, after which Solomon sent the people away. They praised the Lord and went home joyful and glad of heart for all that the Lord had done. Let's try to remember the good things God has done and give thanks and praise for them. Even when things are not going well, let us try to praise God. This is not easy, I know. When Solomon had finished building the temple, God appeared to him a second time in a dream, declaring his presence and blessings on the temple. He renewed the vow he made to David. God also reminded Solomon to keep walking in the ways of his father David. God would continue to bless his throne continually. If he didn't, God would destroy the house he had built. The Queen of Sheba, having heard about the great wisdom and relationship with God Solomon had, came to visit and ask him questions, some of which were hard to understand. But Solomon answered them all without difficulty. She arrived with a large group of advisers and goods, including precious metal, gems and spices. She told Solomon that she had heard of his great wealth and wisdom, but didn't believe it until she saw it with her own eyes. She told him that his people must be very happy with him as king and praise his God for his wisdom in choosing Solomon as king. When the queen returned to her own country, King Solomon gave her all that she had asked for to take with her. She then returned to her homeland. Most modern scholars agree that Sheba was a South Arabian kingdom, the Sebab, which is in present-day Yemen. Solomon loved many foreign women. Some from nations God had told the Israelites that they must not marry into, as they would be led astray and turn them away from the true God, which would encourage them to worship false gods. Solomon had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines. Many of the women he married came from treaties he'd made with surrounding nations. It was customary for a lesser king to give his daughter in marriage to a greater king or greater authority. It's just as well he built a big palace to keep all of them in. Solomon loved all his wives and was devoted to them, allowing them to worship their own gods. As Solomon grew older, his wives led him astray, which encouraged him to follow several of their gods and made sacrifices to them. He did not follow the true God as completely as David had done. He did evil in the sight of God, which brought about the loss of his kingdom at a later date. Because of David's disobedience, he wasn't allowed to build a temple for God. And because of Solomon's disobedience, his kingdom was taken away from him. Not in his own lifetime, but it was taken away from his son. Are we easily led away from God? Do we follow idols? Example, do we spend too much time playing computer games or watching too much television? Are we addicted to our mobile phones? Or even watch programs we know we shouldn't watch? Or do anything that actively puts God last? This doesn't mean that we can't do any of these things or any other hobbies we may have, as long as it's not to excess. In fact, having a hobby is good for us, especially in these times when we are able to not go out very far. We need something to occupy our minds and keep us sane. It's very easy to say, I will pray in a minute when I finish whatever I'm doing, or sit down to pray and end up deciding what we're going to have for dinner. I do this all the time. We must put God first, and if possible, set aside a time for God alone. It isn't always easy. But in all things, we must remember that to put God first. Spend time thanking God and praising him for just being there, for his love for us and his patience when we do get things wrong. We are very blessed to be able to call upon the Holy Spirit within us to help and keep us on the right path. Please join me now in a time of prayer to give thanks to God for his love. Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise you that you are continually there with us, Lord, that you are faithful. Lord, we're sorry that we put other things before you. Help us to be disciplined in our lives, to remember of what you have done for us. You sent his son to die on the cross and that wonderful sacrifice that Jesus made to give us life and eternal life, Lord. Help us to remember and to give that time back to you, Lord, as you gave us so much and we give you so little. And we ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. We're now going to sing two songs that will follow each other. The first is Father God, I Wonder. Because I do wonder how I managed to exist without him before I came to know him and now as I live my life in him. The second one is Faithful One. As God is always faithful to us, as he was to David and Solomon, even when they went astray.
Forevermore. Father God, I wonder how I'm I'd never be alone, 'cause Father God, you're there beside me. I will sing your praises. I will sing your praises. I will sing your praises forevermore. I will sing your praises. I will sing your praises. I will sing your praises to you again and again. I call out to you again and again. You are my rock in times of trouble.
Thank you, Rosie. Let us all join together in prayer. Please remember, prayer is a conversation between ourselves and God. Through Jesus, we are promised that if we believe, our prayers will be heard and answered by his Father. During this prayer time, there will be times of silence where we can lift those who are known to us, needing God's love and healing, as we are not supposed to bring names to this meeting. Dear Father, we bring to you all those bereaved families at this time. Many loved ones have been taken from us in recent times through illness and the suffering caused by this terrible virus plaguing this whole earth. Please comfort those who mourn. Fill the void in their hearts with your love and strengthen them with your Holy Spirit. We bring to you all those we know who are suffering in body, mind and spirit, that your healing hands will be upon them and love surround them. For those suffering from the coronavirus, that they will be healed. For the vaccination programs throughout the earth, that this will stem and stop this pandemic. We pray that vaccination will be available quickly to all people and that you will take away the fear of those who are nervous in accepting it. Dear Lord, we bring to you those troubled nations of this world who are suffering war, drought, poverty and starvation. Please bring peace and justice to this world, food to the hungry, and the end to greed and possessiveness. Let us join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our final hymn is to be God Be the Glory. That you've noticed that this service is based on praising God. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 19, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire." Let us join together for our final prayers. Dear Lord, thank you for letting us join together in your name. Please bless us all and keep us safe from the troubles of this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Say together the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all for evermore. Amen. Thank you for joining us. Please join us on Zoom at the link in the newsletter at approximately 11:15. God bless all and goodbye.